Everybody, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. My name is Jonathan, and joining me today is Scott at TorTweet. Hey, how you doing, Scott?
Doing great, Rojay. How you doing?
I am spectacular, though probably not as good as you, because I wasn't at Madison Square Garden last night. But
you should be as good as me, because you're going to get some too, my friend.
Yeah, my time is coming. In fact, let me tell everybody real quick. On Saturday, the 29th, we from the Helping Friendly Podcast have a event going on. It's going to be at American Beauty. It's in one of the rooms at American Beauty while the fan art show is going on as well. So from 4 to 5:30, we'll be doing a thing. We'll have some guests. Live recording, and hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. Hope everybody can come out. As I said, that's concurrent with the fan art show. There's also a live band, and it's free admission. So if you're going to be at the show on the 29th, come on to American Beauty first and say hi and enjoy that. So I got that little plug out of the way. I hope that was smooth.
Hey, that's a good spot. American Beauty was fun. It was my first experience last night. Went into the Jerry room and chilled out with everybody. It was a good time. Nice
little
spot.
Yeah, I've never been. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. And so, Scott, I have some questions to ask you. We've asked people to, if they would like, to record little audio reviews kind of on the spot, you know, like the voice recorder app on their phones or whatever, at set break or after the shows, and send them to us at via email, the electronic mail at helpingfriendlypodcast@gmail.com. So if anybody wants to do that, they ought to, and we'll take a listen and we'll try to include it. And we're going to go ahead and throw one in here right now. So we'll listen to that and then we'll be back and get all the goods from Scott.
Hey guys, this is Scott Jacoby, aka What's Next. I took a minute to step aside about a block away from the Garden to give you my thoughts on tonight's show. My brain is just blown out of my skull. It was on pieces on the MSG floor, and I spent most of the second set trying to pick it back up. That was just the dirtiest, nastiest, funkiest set of fish I think I've ever seen, and the entire second set there just had impeccable flow, song selection. It was just one continuous 70-minute improvised composition in the moment, and that's the stuff of dreams. I would take a second set like that every night of the week.
All right. So there you go. So, Scott, now that we got all that preliminary stuff out of the way, tell me about your show. How great was it?
I mean, you know, the one thing I just want to start with is that I'm learning something from this run that I've never learned from a fish run before, which is simply there's never going to be a point where anybody can really be jealous about which shows they got and which shows somebody else got. It's going to be a conversation that goes simply like this. What show did you see? Oh, I saw this one. Oh my God, that one was so good. Well, which one did you see? I saw this one. Oh man, it was so good. So this is going to be a special time for everybody that it doesn't matter which shows you get, you're going to get your shows. They're going to be unique. The band's playing like I've never heard them play. And, you know, the MSG enthusiasm is just, you know, through the roof. So sometimes at an MSG show, we see, you know, we see our fan base, you know, carry the band a little bit. Maybe they're sluggish or whatever, but, you know, the MSG fans just won't let them sleep. So usually you see the fan base pick the band up, you know, if they're struggling a little bit. But this has just been an endless conversation between the band and the fans, and MSG energy through the roof. And, you know, it really shined when we got to that second set. And, you know, Mr. Completely, once again, just terrorized. It was such a cool jam. I think it went almost 15 minutes, 14 minutes, something like that. Yeah. And then, of course, 1999 was just so much fun. The entire place lit up. The floor looked like a goddamn dance party. And, you know, people just loved it. And then that jam that happened after that was super crucial, you know.
Such a good time. That 1999, that was way out of the blue. I don't really know how that fits in with the Powdered Donut theme, but I'm not sure I care.
Right. evidently they sound checked. They toyed with 1999, but they sound checked Raspberry Beret or something just to kind of throw everybody off. I heard talk about something like that, and then they just got everybody with 1999. It was fun little trick of theirs, and you know, it went well.
Tuesday, I believe I heard that they sound checked Kick Out the Jams, but it certainly didn't play that. Yeah, I mean, I would love to hear that, but they didn't go there. I think this goes along with what you were saying about the run overall. And I've seen some people talk on the Twitter about how this is not what we anticipated as being. Instead of a 13-night tour, it's just a 13-night tour in one place. Instead, it's more of like a long festival.
I agree with that.
They're really putting an overall singular thought into the event.
Yeah. I got to tell you, it's just the way they're kind of making us feel special. I, the band always does this for us. They always do these, you know, incredible things for us. We have all this fun with these festivals and all these things they do. This Baker Dozen thing is just amazing. I mean, the way they're working with Federal Donuts and our friend Felicia, you know, it's just been super cool and super special. And like the energy is just, you know, super positive. And I got to say, you know, I hope they continue to do something like this. I mean, you know, I love a few extra days to enjoy a city. Sometimes these 2-day runs, we don't get enough time. You know, Nashville's a great place, but all of a sudden you're leaving, you know, and this just gives, I was talking to Craig Hillwig yesterday. We had some lunch and he was like, it's just so nice. We can discover the city. You know, I can drive back and see the family. I can bring them up, see the shows. And, you know, it's a really great thing. Plus, you know, Trey goes 40 blocks to go home and, you know, which is actually our block. So, you know, I just sort of hang out in front of his grocery store and hope I catch him. I'm kidding. I don't do that. But, you know, it's just nice for them to be able to move around. But anyway, regarding the show, you know, and all these shows, they're really not having too much of a struggle with some of the simple tunes that they sometimes kind of flake through or whatever. They're just pushing through them. And, you know, last night was indicative of like a continuation of the jam night. I mean, the jam night was incredible. It was something that we all wanted to hear and we've all been enthusiastic about as fans, you know, let's just have a night of jams. And we get this five song first set. We get like this incredible Lawn Boy. The cross-eyed in the second set was one of the best ones I've ever seen. But really last night was sort of the same thing. You know, Jonathan, they go in these tunes and, you know, you think they're going to end it. And all of a sudden they do a different chord change instead of ending a song. And they go off into this little space and they kind of try to find things. I feel like, you know, in the last two nights, I've seen 4 new songs being written during these jams, you know, and it's just been such a pleasure to see. So, you know, really, I think, you know, this was just jam-filled night 2. You know, like second set was, what, 6 songs or something? And, you know, it was just a really incredible thing. So we're just lucky as hell to have
6 songs and a singular jam, if you look at Live Fish. They isolated
the
jam
so
from 1999.
With that, right.
But you're right. They have
really moved in a different direction.
Gumbo had a little micro jam in it. Hashtag micro jams. Very long fuse was a little bit extended and was groovy and really fun. My Soul was straight ahead, but I'm going backwards here, but it was straight ahead, but really, you know, worked out. What do you think of the opener, White Winter Hymnal?
I think I missed it.
Oh, well, that's fair.
I came in during it. I haven't had a chance to even listen to it. It was played, right? It wasn't a cappella or anything strange.
It's a cappella, but that's the nature of that song.
Actually. Okay, cool.
So
gotcha.
Unlike Strawberry Fields, which they had to completely rearrange, the vocal parts and things are on the record. So.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, you know, Gumbo, like you said, opened up a little bit. And then Yarmouth Road was just a great version of it. And then, you know, I think they alluded to a really great second set starting with Pebbles and Marbles, you know, and then they slipped into what was after Pebbles and Marbles?
Farmhouse.
Right. Farmhouse was killer. It was like a really great farmhouse, you know, the just the crowd and the band was just totally feeling it. And then we reached a tube, and I got to tell you, man, that was one of my favorite tubes I've ever seen. I've seen 375 tubes, so I can clearly say that was the best. And it was fun because I was up in the same spot in a 200 section by the drapes there, where it kind of oversees the whole show, and it was lots of space, great people, close to a bar. It was just close to the bathrooms. It was nice. And last night I had a floor ticket courtesy of Marissa Lee, and I decided to just stay up in the 200 section, and I bumped into a guy from Germany. It was his first show. He had watched the webcast on Saturday or something. He's a Fish fan, you know. And he just said to his wife, "I have got to go see Fish." And he jumped in a plane early yesterday or the day before, flew 9 hours, and there he was. And I handed him, you know, something to smoke and mentioned there was tobacco. And he goes, "I'm from Germany. That's what we do."
And then he
told me a story, and it was just an absolute pleasure to be with him all night. And I remember, you know, they started Carini, and he's like, "Oh, Carini." You know, and then they just opened up on a couple things, and he was just like, "This is just so incredible." He goes, "I watch on YouTube, you know, and you see it on a screen and you watch the webcast, but this is just incredible." So he was fully committed. His name was Gregory, and I became friends with him on Facebook, and he's going to catch the Friday show as well. And hopefully he takes my advice with the encouragement I gave him to go ahead and stick around for Saturday and even Sunday if he can, because you might as well catch as many as you can. And, you know, it was really special to see his first show with him, and super sweet guy. So, you know, as it was, every show is unique, and, you know, you always have a great experience, especially meeting new people and being around your old friends. But, this whole run is all about, you are not going to, as far as I can see, I caught 4 of the last 5. And I just, and I missed Sunday, and that was incredible too. And I just think, even if you catch 1 or 2 of these shows, you're going to be part of the Baker's Dozen. You get your own experience. You're going to get something special from the band because they're fully committed. Everybody's fully committed. I mean, you know, Paige on, you know, on 1999, or what was the other song they sang? And then they ended up playing that Neil Young tune to end.
Like, Powderfinger.
Good Lord, man, what a treat for them to like do that. I mean, at least they touched on the powder thing. They saved it to the end, and what a great pick, you know? So what a great night.
Yeah, a couple people I know were calling for Powderfinger, including myself, and got all the way through Character Zero, and I had completely forgotten about it. And they came out, and I'm, you know, listening from home, and they come out and do that for the encore. I was like, ecstatic for it. But, you know, so we've touched on most of the show, the Steam into No Quarter, Jam into Steam. I thought Steam kind of took some nice direction, nice turns.
Amazing.
In the end there.
Amazing.
And, No Quarter, that's a good pairing.
It
seems
great.
Obvious.
I mean, you know, the Steam was so great because it was a cool down from such an exciting, you know, run of songs, and it never cooled down. It was just so sexy and so cool. And then during No Quarter, I don't know if you were watching the webcast, assume you were, but, you know, Paige's proximity to his mic was like almost a foot back, and maybe he had a vocoder or something like that. And, man, it just sounded so cool how he was singing it, and it just works so well. And, it, you know, Led Zeppelin in a freaking MSG show, you can't miss, you know?
Has to happen.
I mean, yeah, right. You got like 99.999% commitment on that song, so
right.
It was really awesome.
Well, Scott, I am really looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. I hope I'll see you on Saturday. And
I will. You will not see me. I am leaving today at some point.
No.
I'm
sorry to
catch
hear that.
A little at the end of the run, but I am
maybe I'll
so
see you
looking
the final
forward
weekend.
To you. Yeah, exactly. So looking forward to you getting up here, Ro, and getting you some of this, because it's super special, as you know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But I want to thank you for joining us. We're going to go ahead and leave everybody with a bit of the Tube Jam, because it's
killer. Hell yeah.
And, you know, it's hard to can't just play the whole show because it's just a quick hit. But
right.
Enjoy some of this Tube Jam, everybody, and rest up. Send in your fish haiku. We're running out of time. And if you want to get them on air on the Saturday recording for the live podcast, send in your hashtag fish haiku, and I will be reading the good ones, or at least many of the good ones. I don't know that I can get them all at the show at American Beauty on 4 p.m. on Saturday. So thanks again, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. We'll talk again soon, bud.
Thank you.